Okay, good evening. We're taking a departure from our regular social justice affirmative action series of, and tonight we're going to get into identity politics. You know, people identify as many things, including trees. Right. So Tu Bishvat is coming up, and it's really actually this thing about identifying as a tree. That there might be a little bit more substance to that than a identifying as a gender neutral unicorn. There's actually some substance to that, because we find Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh, Pasuk says, right? Man, went by the Isser of cutting down a fruit tree when waging war, right? Don't cut down. Ki Adam Eitz HaSadeh. For man is like a tree of the field. And we have in the Mishnayos in Avos, I believe, more than one place, of a person, is Maisav, Merubim Mechachmaso, was called Sharshav Merubim, Anaf of Muatim, right? And sometimes it's talking about, Maisav and Chachmaso, and Chachmaso Yiraso, all these different things that, gives the marshal of whether the man has more roots than branches, more branches than roots. Yesh Dvarim Begav, that the Adam has something to do with the Elon. And the truth is, you have to realize that this has to be true, because we know that Tu Bishvat is a quasi chag. We don't say Tachanun, and we try to eat fruits on that day, even though it's standing in halacha. Is Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, right? Which means two things, right? First and foremost, what's very, very important, and you have to be very careful about this, is Orla, right? The birthday of the tree, So Mamash Rosh Hashanah Le'ilan, a tree's birthday is Tu Bishvat. So again, I'm not passing halacha lemasa, but a part year when you pass through Tu Bishvat, that's like you cut through. It's like a year is up. It's a cutoff point for a year. So now, where this is very nogea and people are not aware, is that sometimes people transplant fruit trees. You have some gardening done, and you order a lemon tree or a cherry tree, and it's fully grown. If it wasn't transferred with a amount of earth that it could survive in that earth just fine, right? Only as it was only good for temperate measure. That means when it gets replanted, you garden, it's restart. You're back to the drawing board, and you have to now be mindful of this and count the years, because for the next 3 years those fruits are orla. Right? Another difference that it makes is that even though the years, as far as whether it's shmita, a meiser sheni year or a meiser oni year, right? So even though obviously which year it is determined by Rosh Hashanah, but by fruit, fruits of the tree. Right, it goes basar chanota. It goes by when it blossomed. It doesn't go by when it's picked. Right? When did it blossom? Right? And that's how anything that blossomed, that is ro'ui for picking for before Tu Bishvat is last year's fruit. If it's ready for picking from Tu Bishvat onwards, that shows it blossomed this year. Right? Roughly, that's rough. So I'm just saying, that's the function that Tu Bishvat has in halacha, the age of the tree, and also also which year the fruits are in, because it goes by the blossoming, not by when it was picked. Right? So now, what does it have to do with us? Like, Rosh Chodesh Elul is also Rosh Hashanah for Meiser Behema. We don't make barbecues on Rosh Chodesh Elul, right? So why do we eat fruit on Tu Bishvat, and why is Tachanun omitted? Yes, you want to ask something, Rabbi?
I wanted to ask, Chanot, in other words, you're saying,
blossoms.
Blossoms, in other words, right. In other words, not kosher.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
If it blossomed before Tu Bishvat, so then it's the previous year. If it blossomed after Tu Bishvat, then it's the current year, as it were.
Yeah, something along those lines. I didn't review all the halachos before I came here, but I said that's what it has to be, because it doesn't go by if it was picked before Rosh Hashanah. Question: when did it blossom?
Right.
So you say Tu Bishvat is a cutoff point that anything that grows from that point onwards, it has to be from this year, not. It's not a leftover from here, because I could blossom and still stay on the tree much, much longer and be picked like another calendar year later, but its halachic status belongs to when it was picked. You know, when it blossomed, I meant to say. Yeah. Okay, and that's the issue. And so Tu B'Shvat is a definite cutoff point that anything from Tu B'Shvat on, it's, you know, it's this year. It's not the leftovers from last year. Okay. Okay, so, and we celebrate that. So those are the halachic significances that Tu B'Shvat has, and we sort of celebrate it. What?
All trees are just trees in Eretz Yisrael.
No, all trees. Even in no. Of course, in Eretz Yisrael, you have the issue of the Shemitah and Maaser Sheni versus Maaser Ani. Yeah, but Orla is in Chutz La'aretz also. Orla is in Chutz La'aretz also. That's why I said to mention over here, people sometimes have fruit trees translated. Get a fully grown fruit tree. If they didn't bring it with like enough ground that it could survive in the stuff that it brought in, you know, then you're back to the drawing board. You know, it's the tree's birth date, you know, goes back down to zero, and you have to count 3 years before you can.
So you can't chop down any fruit tree in Chutz La'aretz.
What? You can never cut down a fruit tree. Oh, that the issur of cutting down fruit trees is that is the textbook example of Baal Tashchit, right? The issur of like destroying anything worthy is derived from there. The actual textbook biblical prohibition, what we call Baal Tashchis, is cutting down fruit trees. From there, it was derived to anything that's useful, do not destroy. Right? So, okay, so, you know, and this something has somehow something to do with us, not just that man is likened to a tree, you know, as we show from the Pasuk and from Chazal, you know. Oh, the Pesuk, V'haya ke'et shosu lo palgei mayim asher lo aleu lo yibo. I mean, you could go, the Pesukim in Tanakh and in Chazal, you know, the Adam is like, yeah, Tzadik HaTamar, it goes on and on, you know, it just, you know, the examples are numerous and diverse, so we have to understand, you know, what that has to do with us. And now, interestingly enough, you know, timing-wise, Tu B'Shvat always comes out anywhere between Parshas B'Shalach and Parshas Yisro. Sometimes it actually does come out on Parshas B'Shalach, or it comes out on Shabbos Parshas Yisro, right? It's always either one or the other, or the week of one, or the week of the other, right? And so now Yisro, you know, Matan Torah, Eitz Chaim Mila Machazikim Ba, right? As a evening, Rebbe. Right. But Parshas B'Shalach also. Interesting. And after Kriyas Yamsuf, Vayochlu Shoshmaim Vlo Matsu Mayim, Vayavo Morasa, Vlochlu Lishtos Mayim Mimora Kimorim Hem. Right? Okay, so Vayorei Hashem Eitz. Vayashlech al ha'mayim, v'im tiku ha'mayim, sham som l'chok, v'yoreu Hashem etz. Right? Right, that, you know, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the tree. Right? And so he threw the tree in the water, and now the waters became sweet. Right? And it's interesting that the, you know, Chazal tells us that tree itself was bitter. Right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is mamtik mar b'mar, and that v'yoreu Hashem etz also represents the Torah, you know, Vayor Hashem Eitz, and that's how they got the three mitzvahs of Kibbud Av, right, Dinim, and Shabbos, or like other Shitas, Shabbos, Dinim, and Parah Aduma. Right, and this all has to do with the tree. Right? Now,
Torah itself, obviously, is
Eitz. Right, Eitz Chaim L'Mazur, and that's why, you know, that Tu B'Shvat either comes out Parshas B'Shalach, or comes out Parshas Yisro. That's what he said, interestingly enough. You know, it was, so it's something to really think about. So one more word on the commonality, you know, from looking from above before we get into it, you know, before we get into it deeply, right? About the commonality between the human being and the tree, and we're going to come back and analyze some more in depth. Something that you find in the Kadmonim, right? In the earliest Rishonim, you know, Sefer Yosher HaMiuchas Rabbeinu Tam, for example. And the Maharal says this also, you know, he goes a little bit later, right? But it's all over, that the Adam is to be viewed as an upside-down tree. These are the roots, right? The head. You know, the head is the roots, you know, because it points heavenwards to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? That's the source of all life, right? And what we're supposed to do, you know, with our arms and legs is supposed to be the fruits of the intellect, you know, what the mind dictates to be correct, right? All right, so now to unravel this a little bit. What's it about a tree? The whole history of the world was hinging on two trees. Right? Amazing thing, right? In Gan Eden, right? There was the Eitz HaChaim and the Eitz HaDaas Tovara, and, right? If you avoid one tree and stick with the other, things would have been great, right? The problem is, Adam, they did it the other way around, and it all had to do with, a tree. It's an amazing thing to think about, right? Now, the Mekubalim, when they talk about their map of reality, which it's not a physical map, but they're diagrams that all the Mekubalim draw, they're all symbolic diagrams. No one thinks that anything looks like anything, right? But they refer to the setup of all the different olamas and spheres that we discuss. They call it the Ilan HaKodesh. That's their word for it, the holy tree. It's like, like the title of tonight's shiur, really, the tree was used as a metaphor for the entirety of reality in Kabbalah, and we have to understand, why this is. It's lo stam. We said the whole of the world shifted because one man ate from a particular tree. Right. So let's talk about a little bit, what a tree is, What does it do? Here's a riddle, something which I heard from my Rebbe, Moshe Shapir, Zecher Tzadik B'Kodesh Livracha. Right? What is the Hebrew word for advice?
Etza.
Obviously, like Lo Sashchit Es Etza, right? But Isser Bal Tashchit, so we mentioned before, right? Same word. Seemingly, the root of the word is Etz, right? All right, so now, what does a tree have to do with a good piece of advice?
Well,
right. Okay, so Ramosha gave us a...
You can use the bark to write out the advice.
All right, a little more than that. All right, so first, we'll get there in a second, but let's build up a little bit. The most amazing thing about a tree, is that, it grows tall and it branches far and wide. Like you look at these great redwoods, in the state of California, right? And, the amazing thing is you could have a branch that could be, on a diagonal, up and far away from the roots, right? And it's still nourished by the roots. No different than a branch that's a lot lower and a lot closer to the roots. Amazing thing, right? That as big and as diverse as it branches out, in Pnimius, right? In Pnimius, it's all one. It's all nourished by the same roots, right? And the roots, circulate the sap that nourishes, right, the whole tree. It's an amazing thing. So this already gives us a glimpse in part of what the Mekubalim say. They have to view all the olamas. And believe me, the Mekubalim had a much more complex picture of the cosmos than any cosmologist, today. Everyone just has, the most basic Kabbalah. They talk about, millions of olamas. And kochos within kochos dimensions, the Mekubalim were talking about, many more dimensions than science still. Now they're talking about in science about seven dimensions. They were talking about, hundreds of thousands of dimensions already. This is all Pizar and Kisvei Ari. Believe me, as complicated as you think life is, it's even more so. And the amazing thing is, all of it, fueled by the same HaKadosh Baruch Hu. All of it, not just fueled, but all of it with the same Hashgacha Pratis. Nothing like, Well, Shamayim, that's closer to Hashem. Okay, you know, so that's Bashgacha Pratis, you know, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows what's going on over there, and maybe, you know, it's more kind. But Oretz, that's further away. Nah.
I can define it back kind of between Eretz Yisrael, what's Oretz in terms of Bashgacha? Eretz Asherini Hashem HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
No, okay. So that's a very important point. You're saying correct, and I'm glad you raised that point. It is not that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's influence is diluted, right, as if it's more intense there, right? He treats Eretz Yisrael differently than he treats Chutz La'aretz, right? So like in a tree, right? There is, you know, there's the fruits and the leaves and the branches, right? Different things, right? All equally come from the roots, right? Even though these things are different. And that's what I meant to say. Everything is equally nourished from the original roots, right? Equally dependent upon the roots, equally nourished by the roots, even though the roots are, you know, the kolchos are being processed differently, right? But everything is equally nourished by the roots.
All has the same source.
That's right. All has the same source.
At its roots.
That's right. It all has the same source. So that's one of the things that, you know, that the Olamas are, you know, likened, you know, we're going to go into this deeper in a second. We're going to take it step by step. The Olamas are likened, right, to a tree, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power are the roots, and Melo Kol Ha'aretz Kvodo, and there's no difference between Shamayim and Aretz. It's not like, oh, well, you know, Shamayim gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but Aretz doesn't get from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. No. In Pnimius, everything gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, it doesn't mean he treats everything the same way, but everything gets from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Everything gets.
Derives,
right?
Its existence from.
Derives its whole life force. Its whole life force. Right? There you go. All right. So in the Omek HaPnim, everything gets its life force from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And the differences between things is not because something gets more from the roots than the other. They all equally get from the roots. Just everyone processes what they got from the roots differently. And that's why this becomes leaves, and this becomes a branch, and this becomes a fruit. So they're processing what they get from the roots differently, but everything equally gets from the roots. So also, everything is equally from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the Makor Mayim Chaim Es Hashem Elokecha, right? He is the life-sustaining waters of, you know, the whole universe. Everything is equally being nourished by him, even though, you know, what they get from him is being processed differently, right? But there's no chiluk as if something is getting more or something's getting less. Right? Everything's equally dependent and sustained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Hashgacha. But it goes deeper than that, right? The tree, as much as it branches out into a very, very, diverse, right, branches out far and wide, right? It's still one unified system. Theoretically, I can, from one branch, trace through the tree to another branch. It's like, again, one of these giant redwoods. Those two branches may be even like a mile apart, right? It's one unified system, right? Right? You know, so it looks like it's like many different branches, right? But, you know, in the depth of it, it's all one. And that's an amazing thing about the cosmos, right? That even though it looks like, oh, there's all these different planets, all these different stars, right? All these different elements, all these different life forms, all these different forces of nature. We say it's all an Elon, means it's a integrated system. You know, the fact that we think it's made up of separate parts, that's, you know, our limited perception. It is a perfectly unified system, just like the tree. And here's where we're getting to the highest point on this. Right? And therefore, there's an amazing thing that a tree does that nothing else in existence does. It is, you know, astounding. Right? I once heard a lecture from a biochemist, and he says that if we would want to duplicate, right, the creation of sugar that happens in one leaf, you know, through photosynthesis, right, if we'd want to do it in one leaf, you know, we'd want to do it artificially, you know? Said, we would, so to produce those few molecules of sugar, we'd have to open up a massive power plant. He said, like you said, I heard this lecture in Israel. It would be Kemifratz Haifa. It's a big industrial area, right? And it would have to be that big, and we'd have a lot of, we'd have a lot of waste, right? It'd be an amazing amount of waste, from that chemical experiment of trying to combine carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. Right? We'd have an amazing amount of waste. You have to have a huge facility just to duplicate the miracle of photosynthesis that happens in one leaf. Right? It is an amazing thing, right? That the tree is the most efficient, as far as I know, the most efficient entity in physical reality, that it could take, water, nutrients from the earth, and carbon dioxide from the air, and it could manufacture not just sugar that even a regular tree does to sustain its own leaves, but it manufactures fruit. That is amazing. You cannot do that in a laboratory. Like, you try to do that in the laboratory, make one apple, you'd have to have something like the size of a nuclear power plant to make one apple. You'd have so much waste product. It's unbelievable. It is production, but not only that, there is no waste. Like, what's the waste product?
Oxygen.
What a waste, right? We need it. That's amazing. That is amazing. Right? And this is a type of production that's virtually, it's not literally, but virtually yesh me'ayin, right? Because you take those elements that the tree combines, let's say, and makes fruit, and you just mix them up, it's not going to look anything like fruit. It's amazing. As a davar nifla admor, it's mechadesh things, right? And with no waste. That's right.
So the environmentalists aren't so crazy.
I never said they're crazy. What's crazy is that they kill people for trees. That's crazy. That's crazy. Right? The tree huggers. Yeah. Okay. So now with this, going back to what my Rebbe said, what is Eitz have to do with Eitzah, right? So there's an amazing vort, right? You go for advice. You ever think, I've seen that the Nefesh HaChaim talks about this in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos. He says, people go for advice. That's crazy, right? Why is that? That's insanity, right? Because you know what's going on in your life better than the guy you're going to advice for. So Meshuggah, what are you doing, right? Right? You're going to tell him, in half an hour, and he charges you a lot of money, right? And you know yourself all your life, right? And you're going to listen to him, right? And the Rambam says, sounds better in Yiddish. There's an expression, right? Go for an Eitzah and then do fakert from whatever he tells you, right? But still, you go for the Eitzah anyway, right? Why? Because this divorce, right? Of course, you know the factors better than the Baal Eitzah. Of course, the pieces of the puzzle you know better than the Baal Eitzah. But your problem is that you don't know how to put the pieces together. So, of course, you know the pieces better than he does, right? But he just gives you some tips of how to arrange the pieces. And then you see a way forward. And sometimes that's what you need. You need the outside perspective, someone who sees it from another angle, just like someone from another angle could direct you and say, no, there's a pothole coming up, go. Right? So the Baal Eitzah, he doesn't know the hard facts better than you do, right? But he'll give you a way, he'll give you tools to help you arrange the facts in a efficient mahalach. That's what an Eitzah is. Advice is, like an Eitz, is that it takes the water and the carbon dioxide and the nutrients from the earth, and it arranges it all in a mahalach that makes payers. And that's what good advice is, right? An approach. Advice, Klalo Shodavar, says Rav Moshe Shapira Zichrono Livracha, advice is a mahalach of how to arrange the factors in the maximum efficiency that will yield results. And sometimes all you need, like we said, the pieces of the puzzle you know better than the Baal Eitzah, but that outsider person could give you an angle that'll help you arrange the pieces. Yeah. so you'll be able to move forward. So now, so also, right, going back to the cosmic, right, the cosmic, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is osid to reveal to us that everything that happened in history was all productive, with zero waste. Zero waste. Seems to us like there's a lot of wasted opportunities, missed opportunities, needless sufferings. No. It's one big tree, right? And it's there's a massive production that's going in to bear fruit. The fruit that the system of the Olamas is going to bear is going to be to reveal, right? To reveal Eino Milvado. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one and only. And we were going to see that everything that ever happened was a part of that system, right? Right. It was all in the Lashon of the Ramchal. Eitza Amuka. Eitza Amuka. Eitza Davka. Eitza Amuka. Right. Right. That's what it means. Right. Right. That's right. That's right. And that's what it means. Atzas Hashem hi sakum. Atzas Hashem le'olam tamod. That's what it means. Right? Right? You know, everything that ever happened, it's all part of a massive machine. It's all, which is called Atzas Hashem. Right? Everything is leading up to bearing the fruit of revealing, you know, that, you know, Eino Milvado. And everything that ever happened in history, everything, every part of the cosmos is a part of this massive machine. Right? And it's a unified field, like a tree. As far and diverse as this, it's mamash a unified field, all working to bear that fruit. All working to bear that fruit. Right. So it's not hard to understand, you know.
Can I just clarify?
Yes.
I don't think you mean by that, I'm not saying that you did, but just to clarify.
Yes.
That was the only, in other words, that, that people don't have free will, and there's that, and things had to evolve in that particular fashion. It couldn't have, let's say Golos, for example. Go back to the Chayei Tzedas.
Right.
It didn't have to be.
Right.
You're not taking a fatalistic perspective.
No, not fatalistic.
But the point is, however it evolves.
However it happens. There are multiple possibilities, but no matter how it's going to happen, everything is a part of the unified field theory.
That's right. There's no getting out of that
system.
That system.
A system, because all roads lead to, there are many different roads, all roads lead to the final fruit, the final goal, right? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is usid to be mevarer that there was no dover levatola, no dover levatola, right? And that's all called Atzas Hashem. It's Atzas Hashem, right? So now you can understand that the, Now, where this is more pronounced, you know, is in the Eitz HaChaim, right? So now, Chaim, you know, the third term, life, right? Chaim is something that's unified and indivisible. If you're only half alive, you're 100% dead, right? There's no such thing as, you know, only half alive, you know. You're either alive or you're dead, and, you know, there's no in-between. There's like, you know, good and bad, right? Yeah, you know, it's like good points, bad points. You know, good and bad have a dual existence. It doesn't have to be 100% good. It doesn't have to be 100% bad. But dead or alive, other, right? Either dead or alive, right? So now, in the world of Eitz HaChaim, right? Right. So you know, you live in the Eitz HaChaim worldview. You know, so of course, everything that we're talking about is a lot more obvious. Right, and the Torah is supposed to, you know, give us that type of perspective on life of Kol Ma'adav Shmaya Latav. Right, everything's part of Kvod Shamayim. Right, and you serve. There's everything could be used to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right, etc. You know that's you know what the Torah is, you know, teaches us. You know, there's a lot that the Torah teaches us that's hard for us to see, and at this point we only have Emuna in it. Because our das is not there. Our das is from the Eitz HaDas Tov V'Ra, because we fell into that mentality because of Chet Adam Rishon. Right? We fell into that. You know, So we're humanity of Das Tovara, but we were Zoche to get the Torah, that's from the Eitz HaChaim, and trying to bridge what we naturally understand with what the Torah revealed to us, that's called Emuna, right? Where we don't fully understand, it makes sense, but you know, it's hard to be real with it, and that's where Emuna comes in, right? Because the Torah is, you know, the Torah clearly reflects, you know, and explains the worldview of Eitz HaChaim, right? But the Eitz HaDas Tovara, right? You know, the Eitz HaDas Tovara, what happened with that? Just, you know, right? Arura HaAdoma Ba'avurecha, Be'itzavon Tochalna, right? That tree seemingly produced waste. He spoke about that the tree is, you know, it still remains true. It's the most efficient, you know, machine in reality, right? But that's the tree, you know, that's the tree, right? That's not, you know, that's not my life. I invest, and I get very little back. You know, kotz v'darar tatzmiach, like I put in a lot of effort, and not a lot comes back. Bitzavon tochalna. But even the tree itself, right, there's what's called ilone srak. There are trees that don't bear fruit, right? Even more, legabe tree itself, as efficient as it is, right? We know that the earth did a sin on Yom HaShlishi. The earth did a sin. And Chazal say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for Adam Rishon to eat from the Eitz HaDas, and then he was going to close accounts, not just for the sin of Eitz HaDas, but for the sin that the earth did on Yom HaShlishi. What sin did the earth do on Yom HaShlishi?
It's pretty.
Right. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked for our Eitz Pri Osir Pri. I want fruit trees that bear fruit. Says, you know, Chazal, Rashi brings it, that he wanted Tom Eitzo V'Piryo Shove. He wanted the tree to come out, that the tree itself tastes like the fruit. Even if you bite into the, you know, into the branch, it'll taste like fruit. There's one tree like that. Esrog. And we'll get that's the Indian that we dive in.
Have people to try that.
I haven't tried it, but Chazal say that. Right, and that's the Indian. We'll get to that. So the Indian that you dive in for an Esrog on Tu Bishvat. We'll get to that in a second. So unbelievable. That's the Indian. Right. You daven for your Esrog on Tu Bishvat. All right. But all this reflects what we're saying. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted that the trees should be, you know, first of all, it should be 100%. Everything, all trees should bear fruit. Like Chazal say, Lasid Lovo, all trees will bear fruit. All trees bear. But he wanted also Tam Eitzvah Pri Shave. Tam Eitzvah Pri Shave means that you could feel the tachlis every step of the way. Even in the means, right? You could taste the fruit. You know, why do people give up on projects? Why do you quit? Why do you quit your diet? Why do I quit? Not you. You guys are good. Why do I quit my diet? Right? Right? Because you're in the middle of the process, you don't feel the payers, you know? You don't feel the results. So you get sick of it. You walk off. That's right. Because in the means, you don't feel the ends. And that's this. And the problem of that, that as much as the tree is unbelievably efficient, but it could have still been better. Right? The trees that we know, I mean to say. Right? Not the Ilan HaKodesh, but I'm saying the trees that we know on earth, that could have been better. That Tama Eitzva Pri Shava, in a world like that, you would never quit. No quitting. Right? Because you feel the goal every step of the way, along the way. Right? Right? So in a world like that, it would be a world of no quitting. You know, quitting is waste. You know, you put effort and then you walked off. You know, right? The truth is, you know, Shtetin Sforim, that you know the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu waited for the Adam to eat from the Eitz HaDas to close accounts with the sin of the earth is because why did the earth sin? Why did the earth do that? Because the truth is, the earth doesn't sin. It doesn't have bechira. But the nefesh of Adam was in the earth at the time. Right? As the pasuk says, Totse ha'aretz nefesh chaya. Zu nafsho shel Adam Rishon. And that was on Yom HaShishi. That means on Tuesday, it was still there. The nefesh of Adam was still in the earth. It was really Adam doing the sin. Adam did the same sin twice. Of course, we didn't want to punish him, right? Until he was actually incarnate in the body, and he did it again. Right, that the Chet Eitz HaDas was, you know.
What was the parallel between the two sins?
Right. No, I mean, it's.
I understand that.
No, that in Das Tovara,
I'm saying in terms of the action itself. Of
right.
Producing a tree.
No, Das Tovara. Right, right. Because Das Tovara allows for the coexistence of good and evil. Well, you know, it allows for a fragmented world. Tov and Ra together, fragmentation. Chaim cannot coexist with death. Chaim and Moves, like the Ram writes in Maravuchim, is like Emes and Sheker. They don't coexist. But the confusing world of Tov V'Ra, the two coexist. It's a fragmented world. And that's where, in the world of Tov and Ra, is where you have the problem that, you know, the means are not fully hooked up with the ends. Right? The Das Tov V'Ra is, runs parallel to the, the chet that was done, that, that the Tam Eitz and the Tam Pri is not shove it. Fragmentation. Right? The fragmentation, right? There can't be fragmentation in life. You can't be half alive. You're either alive or dead, and there can't be and the mentality that went with the Eitz HaChaim, like Rambam says, is a mentality of Emes versus Sheker. The two do not coexist. Right? Tov V'Ra, non-exact terms, because they're non-exact and non-absolute, they could coexist and create confusion and cause fragmentation. Right? All right, fragmentation.
Relative
terms, right. They're not absolute terms. Right? Contradictory absolute terms do not coexist. But relative terms, you make room for it, and that's causes the confusion, and confusion is what causes getting deflected and misdirected and lose sight of, the final goal. Right. Okay. So the
Derech Eitz HaChaim.
Right, that's right. Derech Eitz HaChaim. Oh, but here's the thing, right? That when in trying to find our way back, right, from Chet Adam Arishon, and we said before, right, that's why we need Emuna, because our mind is a Das Tov V'Ra mind. We still have that mentality that Adam fell into. Right, but we have the gift of the Torah, right? Enlightening us, right? From the Besod Eitz Chaim Machazikim Ba, right? But to bridge our Das Tov V'Ra with the Torah, sometimes we need Emuna, because there's certain things the Torah tells us, everything makes sense, but it's hard to be real with it, and that's where Emuna comes in, right? But in the whole process, the tree also teaches us a valuable lesson, right? And that's the lesson that Am Yisrael was taught, by Mora, right? Says Gemara in Baba Kama, they went 3 days without Torah, right? Why all of a sudden they can't live without Torah? I discussed in my parsha sheet this week, right? What changed? All of a sudden they can't go 3 days. They went their whole lives without learning. I refer you to my parsha sheet. We addressed that issue. But now, lo yachlu lishtos mayim mimora ki morim heim. Right, because Torah to the Das Tov V'Ra could be very bitter. Everyone knows, back to the early yeshiva days, takes a while until you get a gishmak for learning. Right? Yeah, initially, the kids, and in Israel, they say, in my day it was until Hanukkah. I think tonight it's still like Lag BaOmer, right? Until the guys finally get into learning. They get frum on the plane back home, right? I think it's how it goes in this day and age. But right. Takes a while. It's an acquired taste. Right? Right? Even though, Torah is the best thing that there is. Torah is the best thing that there is. But, it's an acquired taste. Our taste buds, what we could appreciate is, we appreciate, Tov and Ra. We don't appreciate Emes. Right? But Vayoreu Hashem Eitz. Right? And that Eitz was bitter. They said, if you're willing to put in additional work of Amelus, right, the bitterness of Ein Divrei Torah Nikneh Misha Memis Atzmo Lea, HaKarshu Mamtik Mar B'Mar, right, if you're willing to invest added effort of, learning not out of a sense of comfort, because if you only want comfortable Torah, you'll never get into learning, right? You'll never enjoy the teeth kind of learning if you are lackadaisical, right? Yeah, but if you're willing to work hard, right, and be omel, right? Eventually, vayim teku amayim. Just like the tree. It could be that the waters that it's sucking up are bitter, right? But it produces sweet fruit. But you have to stick with the process. You have to stick with the process. And that's the message, you know, by Erashem Eitz, like the tree. You know, the trees may not be what they once were, but it's still a lesson there. The lesson of process, right? If you want instant gratification, it won't work. But if you're willing to invest, right, invest, you know, and, you know, be shteik, you know, and be omel, then that Torah that you're learning, you know, through a tremendous, you know, pain and hard discomfort, right? That Torah gets processed within you, and then it becomes sweet. And that's the ending of what they call to get into learning, to get a geschmack in learning. Then all of a sudden, you know, the kid bangs his head. You know, back in the old days, you bang your head against the Gemara for 6 months, and then it clicks. And the amazing thing is that when it clicks, it's mikoach, all that banging of the head that you did earlier. There's an amazing thing happening now, right? Right now, you know, weather outside is cold, you know, it's dark, depressing, right? The trees are, you know, are right now not currently in full bloom, okay? Rainy season, right? Non-sunny, you know, and the crops, you know, in the northern hemisphere, you know, nothing's growing, right? But, you know, but that's in the chitzonius. In the pneumius, says in Sfar, you know, as Gemara says, that on Tu B'Shvat hasaraf ole ba'ilonis, the sap starts climbing. That, you know, any geschmack that you had in learning and in your Avodas Hashem thus far, you know what that is? That's all leftovers from last year. Just like the fruits in the supermarket, everything that you're eating now, it's all the leftovers from what grew last year. In Ruchnius also, right? The all, you know, any geschmack that you have, any hatzlacha that you have, is the leftovers from not Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Ches, leftovers from Rosh Hashanah Tavshin Ayin Zayin, right? The bracha, right? The bracha from Tavshin Ayin Ches, that storm say comes into reality with the rainfall, but you know, it doesn't happen instantly. There's a process. There's a process of absorption and integration. Absorption and integration, right? And the turning point of where, you know, the tree kicks in, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, the power of the tree kicks in, the power of the process, that the bracha that came into the world with the Gishmei bracha is now beginning to rise and be processed. That happens on Tu B'Shvat. That happens on Tu B'Shvat. And as a person now start to feel a little bit of the Vayimtaku Hamayim of the Torah learning of this year, right? You know, on new levels, you know, not, you know, any geschmack you've had until now is the leftovers from last year, just like any fruits that you've been eating until now are the leftovers from last year, right? There's a schachus of the power of the Elon now, of the, that the bracha that was decreed on Rosh Hashanah is finally, you know, climbing up, you know, the sap is climbing, you know, through the Elon HaKodesh, right? And the Adam also, the fact that the Adam is called an Elon is that we're meant to come to the world to make chidushim. Just like the tree makes unbelievable, makes fruit. It's an amazing thing. It makes fruit. That's something that's the closest thing to Yesh Me'ayin. It's like, it is totally, totally unrecognizable. You know, you can't recognize it, you know, the elements that it came from. You know, that the Adam does that with his chidushei Torah. That's the real chidushim that we bring to the world. Right, and that's what it means. The Adam is an eitz also, right? We have a neshama. That's what we said. The Kadmarim called the Adam an upside down tree. We have a neshama that reaches heaven. That's our roots, and we're supposed to, with Amelus Batara, we draw down ideas of Torah, and it produces fruit, which are chidushei Torah, mitzvahs, ikar toldosem shel tzadikim, mitzvahs umasim tov. That's toldos Noach, ikar Noach ish tzadik, right? Right?
What was the term? They have a specific eight sapuch, the term.
Yeah.
That's the term.
Right. You know, and so just like in the Bria, all the bracha of Rosh Hashanah now whatever was decreed in Rosh Hashanah is now beginning to climb. Because until now we were living off the leftovers of last year. Right? All the leftovers of last year. So also in the Adam, this person now is supposed to feel his chachus in his Torah, his Avodas Hashem, his Havonis, you know, that, you know, the sap is climbing, right? And the Adam is supposed to, like, you know, you know, grab on, you know, grab the moment, you know, grab the hischachus, right? You know, that Rosh Hashanah is, you know, Rosh Hashanah, I mean, Tu Bishvat, Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, right? That the power of the tree, right? The power of the process, the power to draw from the roots and, you know, make fruit, right? You know, to break something from Mereshis out of Gemar, right? The power of that process, you know, has awakened and is now available to process the bracha of this year. What?
Culminates on Shavuos.
Excellent.
So
culminates on Shavuos, and that's why Shavuos is something to do with Tu B'Shvat. Shavuos nidonim al peros ha'ilon, the Mishnah says. Right? The final din on how good the fruits will be is on Shavuos. That's right. It starts on Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah l'ilon. The tree is renewing, no fruits yet. The sap is climbing. Tu B'Shvat, it starts. The finale of the process is Shavuos. We got the Torah, Eitz Chaim Machazikim Ba. Correct. Right, I was going to say that. Right? But the power of the tree is awakened. And that's Indian that are straight in Sforim, that, and there's all types of tefillahs in the Siddurim, to daven for an Esrog, you should get a nice Esrog, you daven for it on Tu B'Shvat. Because, you know,
Not on Shavuos.
Stayed on, you know, because the Gaus has Tam Eitz over Perio Shove. Right? It's the one tree. It's Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, not the Peiros. Rosh Hashanah Le'ilon, right? It's the one tree that's most similar to the way trees were meant to be. Right? And by the way, the tapuach in Shir HaShirim, Kacha tapuach or Articha, or Yisol Nimshu le tapuach, which you might think, right? That, you know, the tapuach of Tanakh is the Esrog, not an apple. Right? When there's a Shit in Chazal that, you know, was that Eitz Hadas was a tapuach, it means Esrog. Doesn't, the tapuach of Tanakh is the Esrog. Right?
Say it's a citrus because apples didn't grow in the Middle East.
What?
Apples didn't grow in the Middle East.
I'm saying that's a lot of rice. Tapuach, it's a. Right. Tapuach ba'atse yar, you know, which Yisrael is magdim nasil nishma, right? You know, the. It's tapuach is the esrog.
Esrog. So how was the connection to magdim
nasil? No, because Pirio, because it says, Kitapuach ba'atse yar, ken dodi ben barim, ma tapuach ze, which has to do exactly what we're saying. Pirio kodem la'olav. The fruit even emerges before the leaf.
Yes,
that you can already see.
Does it?
I'm relying on Chazal. Yeah. Right? Right. So tapuach being the esrog. That means, now what does that mean? It goes back to what we're saying. You could see the tachlis already even before the means. The pirio is kodem la'olav. Right? That's why it's the most similar to what trees were always meant to be. It's supposed to be a perfect achdus. From the beginning of the process to the end of the process. So Pirakarov, so also Amiso was Magdim, Nase Lenishma, Nase being the Tachlis. They put the Tachlis even before the means, which is to hear first what to do. Right?
Is the Amelis in Torah only the result of the Chayetz Hadas?
That's what made it necessary, yes. But that's why it's absolutely necessary. Without Amelis, you can't be called a Divrei Torah. Because you need Amelis to weaken the power of the body and cause the neshama to flare up.
And it doesn't taste like the fruit right away. In other words, the process is distinct from the fruit.
Right.
You're explaining that's the cheder, that's the result of the cheder. So that's
right. That's right. But then after that, it is sweet. Right. That's the sort of mamtik mar b'mar. But the reason why you need mamtik mar b'mar, why does it have to be mar in the first place? Right. Because of cheder tzedas. Right. 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 So. That's the Adam. Also, and one more word, you know, and this also it says in Sforim. I believe it's in Baron Karl, that's one of the Beis Aaron, I believe. Baron Karliner, I do believe, points this out, that, you know, everyone knows, Shloshim Yom Kodem HaChag, you start feeling the aura of the Chag, you know, aside from the Halacha, that, you know, you're supposed to start learning the Halachas 30 days beforehand. Shloshim Kodem HaChag, Tu B'Shvat is Shloshim Yom before Purim. Right? So I believe Kamud Dumani, I saw this in the Beis Aaron. He says, you know, that, you know, it's 30 days before Shushan Purim, so it's even closer, you know, regular Purim is even closer. Right? What does it say in that whole story? Right? That Haman said, Yasu Eitz, Gavoa Chamishim Ama. Right? Right? Let's hang Mordechai on the tree. Right? And it was Gavoa Chamishim Ama, which according to Chazon Ish, right? 100 feet. Right? Man, right?
How
Exactly, I was going to say that. Haman min ha-Torah minayin, ha min ha-Eitz. Did you eat from the tree? Right? And of course, the whole thing, flip, tlu, olav, hang him on it. Right? So Rav Aaron Kalina says it's a remez. Vayore Hashem Eitz,
So I'm sorry, so finish, I didn't mean to cut you off. You were going to explain the thought about, what's the connection between the Tu B'Shvat and the...
Right. Maybe we already start feeling the aura of Purim, right? That the story of Purim centers around the tree, right? Hamin min ha-Torah minayin, hamin ha-Eitz. And that's why he said, Yasu Eitz Gavoa Hamishim Amah. The Eitz Gavoa Hamishim Amah, right, represents the Eitz Hadas Tovara, right? And it's Gavoa Hamishim Amah is connected to Hamishim Sharei Bina. Amongst the cosmic forces, Chazal say, there are 50 Sharei Bina from which all the cosmic forces branch out from. That Haman says, my world order of the Eitz Hadas Tovara, that is going to be the world order, right? And Mordechai has no place in that world order, and that's why Tzlu Olav, right, that tree is going to be his undoing. That Haman was trying, Amalek tries to, the fake world order, the fake news of the Eitz Hadas, right? They want to make that the permanent, they want to make it permanent, the permanent state of reality, right? It's Eitz Hadas versus Eitz HaChaim.
The entree they achieve through sin, they think they want to freeze frame it as the permanent state of reality.
Yes. The Eitz Hadas as opposed to the Eitz HaChaim. And that's why, by no coincidence, when they defeated Haman, Hadar ki blua bimei Achashverosh, they re-accepted the Torah, the Eitz HaChaim, out of love, right? But it was a battle between the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz HaChaim. And Haman said, that Eitz Gavoa Hamishim Ama, connected to Hamishim Sharibina, my worldview is going to be the entirety of reality, right? And hanging Mordechai on the tree, the tree will be his undoing, right? And this is the amazing thing. That's the V'nahafochu.
No God, no Jewish people.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want to get into this right now. We have to, by Purim, if the Rebbetzin will invite me back, right? But by Purim, we'll talk about how Haman and Achashverosh had a whole scheme for the day after. New World Order, with Shushan being the new Yerushalayim. They had a whole scheme, because how is the world going to manage without Klal Yisrael, without Torah? They had a whole scheme of an alternate world order, including an alternative to Yerushalayim. All right, but not going to... What? No, there was going to be... they thought it would be Shushan, right? Now it's a whole...
Roman Jews.
Right, yeah. But anyway, so this was amazing. So that's what it is. Yasu Eitz Gavoh Hamishim Ama, right? Connected the Eitz Hadas, Hamana Terminadayin, Amina Eitz, right? That we're going to be mechazik that as being, the reality. And Mordechai has no place in that reality. What happened? Haman got hung on that tree. Right? An amazing thing. That's the part of the V'nahafochu. The Eitz that he prepared to hang Mordechai, he got hung on. An amazing thing that Akash was going to reveal. Right? That even the Eitz Hadas is part of the Eitz HaChaim. Right? I know I gave a shir a few months ago, and some person found it incredulous that if Adam Rishon would have just held out till Shabbos, right, he would have eaten from the Eitz Hadas. And that's exactly the point. The amazing thing is, there are no two trees. There's only one tree. There's something, a part of that tree, the Eitz HaChaim, that looks like an evil twin. And even that evil twin is one part of the tree. Right? There really are no two trees. There's only one tree. There's one Elon, and everything's ba'achdus gomer. Like, it's one tree that all works for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even the Ra is a part of that tree. Just, there's like certain, imagine if there's like a group of branches that branched off, that forms an illusion as if it's a different tree. And that's the Gili of Purim. That's the V'nahafochu. That even the Ra, the Eitz Hadas Tov Ra, that was a whole alternative to the Eitz HaChaim, evil altar, evil twin, even that is just a branch of reality. And that's what Hashem was destined to reveal, right? And that's the V'nahafochu, that even the Eitz Hadas Torah is nichla on the Eitz HaChaim, and that's when the Ra is going to be Chozel Tov, and we're going to eat from the Eitz Hadas Tov the Ra and just the evil, Lo Tochal, because the illusion of Ra will be removed from existence. B'mehera B'yameinu.